Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to your Q&A ahead of Game Week 27. My name is Az, and I am joined by a blast from the past. Me and Joe Leper on a stream together. It's been ages. How are you?
I know. I'm very good. Yeah, it's reliving the old Scoutcast days. Those who've been following the Fantasy Football Scout YouTube channel today will be sick of the sight of me. This is now my third video today.
Oh, my God. You are really... Yeah, you're really back in the saddle these days, doing the video stuff.
Yeah, it's like buckaroo.
Well, for anyone who doesn't know, as Phil Rank Chaser said, Joe and I used to be on the Scoutcast back in the day. Obviously, it started with Mark and Granville, and then you came on. You did the full Jaunty. I remember that back in the day. Mm-hmm. And then Andy came on, and Luke did bits and pieces. And then it was the four of us really for a while, wasn't it? Me, you, Andy, and Mark. That's what I kind of how it all started for me and things. So it's good to be back with you. Sam's still sunning up in Orlando, isn't she?
Yeah, she's been away for a while. I was reminded this week of a classic Scoutcast episode where we had do you remember the one where we had Jay Eggestorff on?
The tour of his house.
And at the time, he was the number one manager, according to our Hall of Fame. And he was trying to find a lead, and he went on a tour of his house, but he took the camera with him. So we were just on this journey throughout his house. And then it ended up in his kitchen. Then he decided to make some food while he was trying to find a lead.
I remember that like it was yesterday. And that was one of the funniest things I've ever watched. Was that the same episode when he went on and on about the Kane exit strategy?
Yeah.
And then sold him, and his rank just went absolutely plummeted. And
he sold Harry Kane before back-to-back hat-tricks.
I know. If there's people out there who might have sold Bowen or have done anything like that, selling Harry Kane ahead of back-to-back hat-tricks was a good one. Monkey Man says they're getting the money's worth out of you, Joe, this week.
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah, just to say, I didn't do anything yesterday, I don't think.
Yeah, okay. Well, still 300 days is pretty good. We've got FPL Boo Boo in the chat who says hi. We've got Jason Starling who says Terence Trent Derby days. He ended up being quite good as well. Michael Fisher stormed De Bruyne hitting Manchester on Sunday. What do you make of De Bruyne's chances this week? Have you got him?
Well, yeah, I'm actually relying on him. I did one of the thousand of videos I did today was look at all the different pundits' picks, like yourself in the Great and the Good League. And there's so many players that pretty much 70, 80%, 100% owned. Haaland, Saka, Watkins, and so on. And basically, there's a lot of managers who've got Hwang in, not myself included. A lot will want to move him out. And a lot somehow have got about 4 or 5 million in the bank and are probably going to get Son in, and they probably don't own De Bruyne. So essentially, the game week is going to come down to a lot of engaged managers between Son v De Bruyne. So, am I optimistic about De Bruyne? I've got to be. I was talking to Neil on Team News today. He's pretty optimistic he's going to start. And I don't mean to worry non-owners, but he's playing at Manchester United's back line. And he's just assisted thousands of goals by Haaland midweek. So, Son v KDB. That's going to be the week. My week depends on KDB doing well.
I am exactly that person that you just described. I bought in Hwang, and I've got 4 million in the bank, and I'm going to move him straight to Son this week. So it's literally a case of the two sides on here. I mean, it was a ridiculous result, wasn't it? I mean, Haaland 5 goals, 3 assisted by De Bruyne in the 2 weeks when he hasn't even played. I've owned him for those weeks as well. And then Haaland obviously been disappointing with the triple captain chip and everything around it. I mean, have you still been captaining Haaland every week?
Yeah. I mean, I've still been going for Haaland, and to be honest, it hasn't really harmed my rank. So I've had Haaland, I've got Foden, I've got De Bruyne. So Foden's been coming up with the goods. And I'm what's it say down there? 57k.
Small red this week.
I was 55k, so very small red. But I've been hovering between about, I think my lowest recent weeks is about 90, and I think about 50. So I'm hovering around that point, and I'm fine with that, and so I'm quite happy having De Bruyne. But I've got a little plan, and I think De Bruyne will be leaving.
Is it a cunning plan?
A cunning plan, and game week. Yeah, no, next week I think I'm going to remove him, probably for Son.
For Son, so you're going to try and get through this week against Palace.
Yeah, I'll get this through Palace, but it's actually the Villa game where I really want Son because Villa's high line. And then that will give me, because we've got all the chip strategies and everyone in the live chat will have their own thoughts about what to do after the cup games. But my plan is sort of look at the Bournemouth Luton double that's coming up in 28, hold this week. I'm going to just do nothing this week. 29 free hit, and then go into 30 already with Son, already with Haaland, and I'm going to get Salah in and maybe captain him against Brighton. Mm. So I'll have Haaland, Son and Salah. I don't think a lot, unless they're wildcarding, will be able to get those three.
No. And I think even a lot of people who are wildcarding might struggle a little bit, especially if you've got the bench boost coming in, you know, that you need to play. If you're playing that wildcard in 31, you might need to leave a little bit more money on the bench just to make sure you've got, you know, playing goalkeeper and 4.5 defenders or 5, and then maybe even a decent mid. It's an interesting period. I think this is the time when if you've got a bit more money in the bank, or if you've got the ability to get through that, you know, without the free hit in 29, you could put yourself in a really good position.
Yeah, I mean, we're both Brighton fans, so we know about Brighton, and also we know when Liverpool played Brighton this season, I captained Salah against Brighton when Son, I think, against Luton even, was the popular captain choice.
Again, I went Son that week, and captain.
And that's the one that propelled me up the rankings, because captaining Salah was bizarrely not captained by many. So I'm thinking of replicating that game, because I think Son's going to be really popular as a captain in 30, because he's once again facing Luton. But I think Salah might end up being the higher point scorer. But anyway, that's game week 30. We're not doing game week 30 QA, are we?
Yeah, we've got those.
That's the way my mind thinks.
I mean, we are getting a lot of questions about Son. He is the one that's kind of on everyone's kind of mind at the moment. So Kareem says Son as a number 9 is very attractive. Should I get him in for Foden or KDB? And says I will get him. So it's not a case of don't sell Foden or KDB. It's a case of which one. You can't sell Foden, can you really? I wouldn't have thought.
Okay, well, I mean, I try not to complicate things in FPL, but getting rid of a Man City attacker against Manchester United is not, I wouldn't say that was good. Because what happened with this game last season? They won 6 something or other. Haaland scored 3 goals. Foden scored 3 goals. So Foden and KDB, Haaland, they're going nowhere. It's next week, I think, when Man City play Liverpool, game week 28. That's going to be a trickier clash. I think we all have to get out of our mindset. I mean, I think most are. Manchester United are not a good side anymore. They were, but they're not now. Liverpool are, Man City are, Arsenal are. But yeah, Manchester United will be beaten by Man City.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't sell Foden or KDB this week, I don't think. I think I'm with you. But if I had to sell one, gun to my head, I'd sell De Bruyne just because you've got that slightly more rotation around him. And I think Foden is, in the way he's playing, season keeper. So, but yeah, I don't think that's a priority move. Mickey Mouser says, another Korean trap from FPL experts this week. Surely Son's not going to go the same way that Hwang did, right?
No, I mean, because I was off last week, so I sort of dipped into sort of Twitter FPL world. But I wasn't part of it. And, you know, you get these bandwagons. And I was quite surprised gradually as the week was going on. Everyone was going, oh, I'm going to get Hwang in. And when I saw him in all these teams, I couldn't understand it. And that's not to belittle. It was an okay fixture. But it wasn't wow. And it's Wolves. But, yeah, it was. But Son is a different proposition. Son can get a hat-trick at the drop of a hat. He's really good. And it's yeah. Understatement, but he's captain material a lot of weeks, and he's going to be playing number nine because Richarlison's out. So it's not a trap at all. And no offence to this poster, but just because he's the same nationality doesn't mean he's going to be the same trap. That's really odd.
I don't see how an out-of-position midfielder playing up front for arguably the most attacking team in the league with Palace, Villa, and then a game in 29. I don't really see how that can be a trap. But I mean, you never know. I mean, he hasn't been sort of plundering huge returns over the last few weeks, but you can only really play what's in front of you. Yeah. Surely Son has to be the best.
And he's really good for whatever you're going to do. So I'm going to free hit in 29 because I've only got like Alfie Doughty, Watkins and Areola. So that's it. So I'm definitely free hitting then. And other people will be in that position. But Son, you know, Son's a good player to get in around that. Even, you know, get him in at 28 as well, way at high line of Aston Villa. And then you go back out of the free hit chip and you've got Luton at home, and then West Ham, and then Nottingham Forest at home. Whereas if you aren't free hitting and you're just going to carry it through, it's even better because he plays in 29. Yeah. So, and he's arguably the captain that week.
Yep. No, I completely agree. A couple of super chats. Thank you very much. Do get yours in if you want to guarantee that Joe and I get round to you. Jason says, is Morris a decent shout instead of Solanke? Sounds like a potential long-term issue and could reoccur. Thinking the next three game weeks for Adebayo.
Well, I think... I was talking to Neil about Solanke's chances. Apparently, he's been nursing this injury since game week 20, and he's been okay since then. But it might be sort of catching up with him. I think if you don't own Solanke, I would hold fire. But I wouldn't immediately say, oh, I'm not going to get Solanke, because if he's like emerges from the Burnley game, scores a hat trick there and says, I'm tickety boo, I'm playing through the pain against Sheffield United and Luton at home in 28. I'm going to want him then if I didn't own him. So, but yeah, do I think Morris is a decent shout? Once again, Morris is a decent shout. They've got Luton, they've got Crystal Palace and Bournemouth, but is Adebayo going to be back? Unlikely, but could be. In which case, could Morris be benched for one of those? I don't know. So I think it's all about information. And I think the moves that Jason wants to make, I think are more about 28. And I would try it. It's really hard, isn't it, to be patient in this game. But I would just try and just turn everything off. Don't make that move. Just wait till 28, because I think that's when you want to be making those decisions.
Yeah, I mean, Solanke is obviously the big news this week, given that he's got the doubt around him. We're not totally sure whether he's going to line up against Burnley. I mean, my thoughts are he hasn't got a problem with his knee. Like, he hasn't got like a serious problem because they've done the scans and that's all come back clear.
Yeah, yeah.
He's had this problem, we think, for a little while and been playing anyway. So is it likely that he misses out over the next few weeks when he's been playing nightly pretty much every week?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not a professional football footballer, but if I was a striker for a Premier League side and someone says, do you want to play, then I would.
Especially if it's Burnley, Sheffield United and Luton.
Do you want to score lots of goals, Mr. Striker? Yes. So, yeah, he's going to have to, his leg's going to have to be dripping off for him to not play. But is it you got Solanke in your team?
I bought him in last week. Classic, you know, wasn't expecting huge returns from against Man City and bought him in ahead of this run. And, of course, now there's doubts around him. So my moves last week were Hwang and Solanke in. That's not exactly gone to plan. But, yeah, I mean, the good thing about owning Solanke, the potential good thing, is that it might put off a few people from buying him this week. And if he does start against Burnley, you've got to think he's going to get a decent haul. Yeah. In that match, but yeah, or he might not play at all, and then I'll have someone like Kabore coming in or Garnacho, against City. So I really do need him to turn up really in the match. Colm reminds us that Son has a very good record against Palace. He does.
I believe he scored his first ever goal for Spurs against Palace.
That is a stat.
I think. Yes, he does. But from my memory, that's back in the Son Kane days, and Spurs themselves didn't have a great record against Palace in that they was sort of lots of narrow wins, lots of 1-0s, and Son might have got the only goal. So it's not like I don't know, Haaland and KDB against Manchester United sort of record. But yeah, I mean, Colm knows. Colm often appears and is full of great information like that, particularly around I think Fulham as well. I think it was Colm who was talking about the Brighton Fulham game, because Fulham playing Brighton, and Brighton haven't won at Fulham since 2017. I think Colm reminded me this week,
back in our Championship days.
Yeah, it was in the Championship. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Every time we play Fulham, I worry. And yeah, it was the game last year, was it? We absolutely dominated it, and they hit us on the counter. I think it was Connor Solomon or someone.
Yeah,
just burst through, just completely broke our defence and scored. So yeah, they're a team that worry me. I mean, we're getting questions about Estupiñán, Harry Pickering. Should I sell Estupiñán, for example? Do we get rid of him? I guess we have to, right?
Yeah. Because the new guy from Argentina came in off the bench during the cup game. Looked good. Didn't look out of place at all. Just slotted in very nicely. So there's another option at fullback. Veltman's back as well. Lamptey is back this weekend. I think it's going to be Lamptey and someone else, not Estupiñán. So yeah, I think it's another one pointer for Estupiñán. He could play, but you know, he's a doubt now from now on. There's something not quite right with the system, with him. I think he's still well liked. It's just his role in the way they're playing, because they're having to play without Matoma now, aren't we? So we're sort of the more of a sort of a wing back role, and I'm not sure sometimes he's been playing at left centre back, hasn't he? So whatever role he's been asked to do, he's not fulfilling it as well as Zerbi would like. So yeah, he's got to go, really. And personally, I was looking to get rid of him for a double game week defender in 28, but I think just because of my personal circumstances and I want to free up some money, I think I'm going to move Van Dijk to a Bournemouth defender, for example. But if I didn't have those sorts of long-term sort of freeing up money issues and I owned Estupiñán, I think he would be the top priority to sell.
Yeah. He's an annoying one, isn't he? Because he's going to get minutes. Like, if he doesn't start, there's no, like, he's going to play zero and you're going to get your own defender off. You know he's going to come on, and I think he's played 7 minutes in one game. And he could come in at left centre back and have no attacking threat. I just don't see how he starts when Barco came in and played really well. He took some corners as well in the cup game.
Too.
We've got Lamptey fit and Veltman over on the right. So I think I'd be very surprised if Estupiñán started this Fulham match.
Back in your earlier days of seeing Brighton, do you remember Kerry Mayo?
Of course. Kerry Mayo, absolute legend.
You remember seeing him? And I was getting such Kerry Mayo vibes.
Guy
really
Butters
looks like
back
him.
In the day.
Oh,
Adam Virgo.
Oh, Adam Virgo.
What a team we had.
Oh, got no striker. Doesn't matter. We'll send Adam Virgo up.
Adam Virgo. And he'd probably nick one, to be fair. He did quite a good job for us.
He was an excellent striker. He was the Chris Sutton of the South.
The manager of the company I work for, his daughter does football at school, and Adam Virgo's the coach of the girls' football team. Yeah,
so she's like really good at defending and really good at striking.
There's no flair in that team.
Yeah, nothing in the midfield.
Greg Williams says he's just done Estupiñán to Kerkez. What do you think of Kerkez? He looks like the most attacking option, doesn't
he? Now he is on my watch list for 28, but it all relies on Lloyd Kelly being injured.
Yep.
So if Lloyd Kelly's still injured, then Kerkez will be the likely player there. And I prefer him. Yeah. Senesi's on 8 yellows. So there's difficulty there and have to wait. So if Senesi gets a yellow against Burnley, then he's on one yellow away from a two-match ban going into the double game week, which means he could just have a single. Greg has done a good one. There.
He has. I mean, Senesi's the one. I think I'm going to risk it on Senesi. I'm going to do, because I'm going to get Son. Yeah, and I've got to get rid of Estupiñán, and I can't play him this week. So Senesi might come in. I mean, the other one is, I'm going to completely butcher this name, Zabani?
Yeah.
I mean, he's played 90 minutes in every game so far this season. Absolutely no goal threat whatsoever.
Yeah.
But he's the safer pick because you know you're going to get the Burnley game and then those two.
Why now? Who have you got in defence now?
Well, my defence at the moment is Trippier, Gabriel, Estupiñán, Doty and Kabore.
Just play Doty.
Doty at home to Villa. I think they're going to get battered.
Well, you say
it's a hit for a it's a hit for a defender, but it's a hit for a defender in a, before a double game week.
Yeah, I would wait because it's say if Lloyd Kelly comes back, for example, then that counts one of that counts Kirkes out. And if Senesi gets booked, then that sort of counts him out as well. Then you've got to go for the Zebedee guy, who, as you said, is like just, you know, nothing.
Dull. So, very dull.
Dull. Mm. So, yeah, I mean, I'm in a similar situation. I'm playing Gabriel, Van Dijk and Doty.
Mm. Oh, you're playing Doty this week?
Yeah, because I could play, I've got a stupid hand as well. And I've also got Anderson at Crystal Palace and I don't fancy playing him. So,
FPL Spartan says there's no time scale on Lloyd Kelly returning other than he misses this game week. Yeah, nice and vague. Thanks for that.
Yeah.
Senesi is a yellow card waiting to happen if you watch Bournemouth play. Just get Zebedee in at 4.4 million. Jason says Senesi got booked midweek as well. He loves a booking. He does love a booking, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Maybe he's a bit too worried. Suleiman says, should I do a -4? Talking about hits, -4, Hwang to Son.
Yeah, depends what the other bit is. The other bit of that hit. On its own, you know, Hwang to Son. Yeah, I mean, I think that's worth the -4. Whatever strategy you got, we spoke about it earlier, you're gonna want Son. And, you know, Son is captain material in game week 30. You can play it. You can save yourself a free hit if you've got enough bodies in 29 by getting him in. I think that's well worth the -4 because Hwang's not playing. So I kind of like those moves because it's not like when you do that -4. What was that black box episode where Mark did something mental?
When he took a -8 to take out Ferran Torres.
That's the one. And Ferran Torres like scored like his most amazing
brace and an assist, I think.
Yeah. And you were watching it live as it was unfolding. And because he took it. So that's the fear, basically, of every FPL manager. But you don't get that with a -4 with Hwang Song. It's a nice stress-free -4.
I mean, obviously, it depends who the bench option is. You know, if you're benching like a Douglas Luiz or a Bailey or someone, then you just bring them in and maybe you don't take the hit. But if you're going to be bringing on probably a Doherty or a Garnacho or a cheaper one, then I think I'd take the hit just to get that with Son, because we both said he's one of the best picks, we think, going forward. If we're ranked chaser, best Hwang replacement, Bowen, Bailey or Luiz?
Bowen? I think Bowen, now that Paqueta's back, I think it's definitely Bowen. It's just a sliding scale of what returns to get. Luiz is a home lad. So his returns are going to come at home. So he's got Luton away next, but then Tottenham at home and then West Ham away and then Wolves at home. So it's a real mixture there. So Luiz might get you some returns, might not, might get, obviously can nick a penalty in time. Bailey's good. Bailey is good. But if it's a choice out of those three, I would definitely go for Bowen.
How would you rank him? I'd probably go Bowen, Luiz, Bailey, I think.
I think because of the amount of away games, I would actually put Bailey a bit higher. But I think Tom Freeman, who I do the Goals Imminent show with, who is also a Villa fan, I think he also said that Bailey's quite much better at home as well. So yeah, take your pick there. All roads lead to Bowen for me.
And what about Kudus? That's what his Cayman points out as well.
I think it's Bowen who's going to play up front, or even if he plays out the wing and Antonio's up front, it's still effective. And then Paqueta helps him, and Kudus can do well, but it's Bowen then Kudus.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. I do like Kudus. He is fun. He does seem to find a way of getting returns, but if you're picking one out of those four, I think Bowen is the clear.
Yeah. I mean, and ultimately it is West Ham. They are better with Paqueta, but it is West Ham.
Yeah. I mean, the key thing was Antonio as well dropping out, wasn't it? Because if Bowen's back out on the right, he's still a decent option. He'll still do well, but he's a different level with up front with Paqueta.
Yeah.
As well. Who would you bench? Says Naim, Palmer, Gross, or Foden.
Who would I bench out of them? None. I think reluctant.
I hate these questions because you it's so hard.
Yeah, I know. Who would you bench? Pele or Messi? Messi. Oh, I don't know.
I mean, that's basically gross, to be fair.
Yeah, it would have to be gross, very reluctantly, mainly because we're Brighton fans and we're both saying we don't fancy our chances against Fulham.
Yeah.
Palmer's on penalties against Brentford, as we've learnt today, without Ben Mee. And Foden just scored a hat-trick against Manchester United and is just amazing at the moment. Reluctantly, I would bench Gross. But I personally wouldn't like to live in a world where I had to do that. Yeah. I wouldn't like that. That team's too good. It's too good for me.
It's tough when you've got like Solanke up top and there's a doubt around him. And then you've got players like Gross or Palmer who you're thinking about benching. Because, you know, you play Solanke and he's on the bench, plays 20 minutes at the end, or his minutes are managed and then he comes off. You're going to be kicking yourself. So it's a tricky one. I think there's going to be a lot of dilemmas for people this week. There's going to be people with patched up squads, benches that are tough to know who to go for.
I think with Solanke, I think he's either going to start or he's not at all. He's just not going to be ready. Because if he's fit enough to be a sub, he's fit enough to start because he's that important to him. And it is Bournemouth. And he is the main man at Bournemouth there up front. So, yeah, I think as long as you've got... So Neem here is going to have a great squad. Because if they play... presumably, they've got Solanke. They play Solanke and then he's just not playing at all. Hey, presto, you got Gross as first sub. Brilliant. But, yeah, I can't see him coming on. But what you alluded to there, the possible scenario is he starts... and then he comes off after 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's always the worry. Not that it'll happen. Daniel Valentine says, as pronounced kudos weird. Kudos? Kudos. Okay. Is that not right? Kudos?
Kudos? Kudos. Kudos to Daniel for the pronunciation.
Is it kudos like the praise or is it kudos like it's spelled?
Kudos. I think it is. I tell you what, on the...
We're useless at this show. I remember back in the... Milivojevic took us about 7 months to be able to say.
I did one of my worst ever ones on Team News just now. I was rolling... I was doing the sort of roundup bit at the end and I had Fernandez's name, Bruno Fernandez. And I couldn't think of his first name was. But for some reason in my head, I said... Fernandez.
A bit like Angel Rangel.
Yeah, Angel Rangel. So, and what was the one that took about a season to get right and then he got dropped? Milivojevic.
Milivojevic was the classic. We spent a long time on that one. And he wasn't an option. And then he started scoring every week. So we had to start saying his name. Are you still on the Joe Ellington train?
I remember. I am. I'm fully on that. I'm fully on the Joe Ellington one rather than the Joe Linton.
I'm sure that's
one.
Not right.
It is right. It's right. And because it was pointed out to me by a Brazilian guy, I know.
I think he was having you on.
No, he wasn't. And then I checked it on those, you know, how do you pronounce these names kind of things on YouTube. And he's got him saying it's Joe Ellington.
Joe
and
Ellington.
That's the way it was. Think of it like he's Duke Ellington's son, Joe Ellington. And... but he's been morphed into this.
I've just never
this...
heard it pronounced like that anywhere else but you.
Yeah, well, there we go. I'm the only one who's accurate, doesn't mean? Standing on my own.
Absolutely. You keep doing it. I'm proud of you. Stephen Gallagher, KDB and Hwang to Saka and Son. Have Foden and Haaland. That's for a hit. No Saka. What? You've got to have Saka, surely, at Sheffield United.
Yeah, but... people, how do they get
in? How do you get in these predicaments?
How do you get? This is what a pickle. I would not sell KDB at home to Manchester United this week on the back of all those assists. I would sell Hwang. So he clearly wants Saka and Son. He has Foden and Haaland.
It looks to me like Hwang to Saka should still be...
Yeah.
Possible, right?
He's clearly got the -4, I suspect, is because he's got to free up some money there. So I would possibly see if you can find any more money. And I think you would, like, I'm not going with Son this week and just take it on the chin and just say, I'm not going to have one of Saka and Son this week. I think you might be able to do that -4 another way, perhaps. I just don't think this is the week. Next week is the dump your Man City players if you fancy. But this week, it's just, I just think, you know, it was 6-1 last time at home. Liverpool have got the talent to frustrate Man City. Have Manchester United? I don't think they have.
I would feel very uneasy about not having Saka this week. So if that is your only way of finding that money, I'd probably do it. But like we keep saying, I think you keep KDB this week if you can.
Yeah, that is a frustrating one because the -4 could pay itself off with Saka and Son alone. But then I think your worst case scenario is breaking even because KDB hauls. Huang's not playing, so that's fine. Saka and Son both haul, and it costs you a -4. So you might lose out a bit there. But what I don't think is going to happen is Saka and Son both blank.
No.
At least one of them, probably both, will haul. So that's a really long way of saying, yeah, perhaps, even though I would firmly advocate keeping KDB, he could be sick because the players he's getting in are of such high quality. And Huang's injured.
I think if you've got a player like Trippier, for example, or a player who's quite pricey and maybe isn't doing very well, then I think you target those to free up the money. But it might be that KDB is the only one that you're happy to lose.
Yeah.
Maybe. J77lag says Bernandes Fernandes. He's the greatest dancer.
Yeah, I think J77lag was in the chat for the team. Obviously, me fumbling and in my head working out. He's called Bruno, but I'm just going to call him Bernandes.
Akash says, how's Chelsea been lately? Can Tony score a hat trick against them tomorrow? I think a hat trick might be a bit hopeful, but he could very well get something, I think, in that game.
Yeah, Danny, Chelsea are a strange beast at the moment. They've got this haphazard, as we know with Brighton fans, they're just taking everything they can from Brighton. they're trying to buy everything from the club. And they've got this really... Their team is still weird. It's still a weird mixture of players that are really old, like Silva... Other teams cast offs like Sanchez, who it's rumoured they actually want to sell. And meanwhile, they've got all these amazing young players as well. But it's all about Palmer. I think the Brentford game with me out and defensive issues in general, that could mean that there's less time for them to attack. But I think Tony's going to score. I think Palmer's going to score as well. I think Jackson's probably going to score.
I know, like Andy North from the Scoutcast has sold Palmer last week.
Wow!
And I think you're going to be very worried about Palmer if you've got rid of him. Yeah. So I'm glad because I was debating selling him last week as well, but I kept him.
I did cross my mind as well, but then I just kept thinking, and I looked at the fixtures and I just thought no, Palmer's really good. There must be another way I can get whoever I want to get in. Because I was debating, I could have done in the double game week a straight swap from Palmer to Diaz, which would have got me more points that week. Because obviously Palmer didn't play, but I think Palmer's one to have because also bearing in mind he's going to be doubling at some point, so probably game week 37. So he's just going to go up in price or stay the same. But either way, a lot of us have got money tied up in him and it's just going to cost. I don't mind losing a bit of money, but if a player, you know, is going to cost you 0.7 more, a million more to get back, then that's probably not the way I would like to do things.
Yeah, that makes sense. Michael Scott, start Areola or Dubravka? Now we're asking the big questions to goalkeepers.
This is why I got rid of Dubravka for Kelleher. So I didn't have to worry about this. So I can just basically play Kelleher or Areola.
West Ham against Everton, Newcastle against Wolves.
But, I think Newcastle are going to concede against Wolves. Although, I'm not sure who's going to play up front for Wolves. And in the meantime... to be honest, they're both going to succeed. they're both going to concede. West Ham.
That's very different.
I would go do it on save points. Who do you think is going to make the most saves? And I would possibly say Areola. I don't know. They're both playing teams.
It's tricky, isn't it?
It's a really tricky one there. I think they're both rubbish this week. but I think Areola's great in game week 28 when West Ham at Bournemouth, at Burnley at home.
Does Dubravka definitely play? Because he missed out in the last game.
Yeah. He was just ill. And he played midweek. Mm.
Okay. So he comes straight back in.
Yeah. He's playing. I mean, this is not the sort of answer that anyone wants, but they're both rubbish. Flip a coin.
I would play Areola because I think the way Wolves play on the counter is going to really suit them in that Newcastle game. Yeah. And you look at their defence, they've got no pace at all in that back line. Neto and Sarabia are going to feast on that, I think. So,
It's just because Chan's out, I don't know who's going to play up front. But at the same time, Newcastle, I think, because I think Tom or someone in one of the videos I was on said that Newcastle were like the worst defence at the moment and someone was questioning it. And so I looked into it a bit more and I think over the last 6 weeks, they are the worst defence. And over the season, only two of the promoted sides have got a worse expected goals conceded than them over the season. So, yeah, Areola. It's not ideal, but Areola is better than Dubravka.
Probably just go for that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Tristan Cox says Watkins captain versus Luton. Look what he did against Sheffield United. What do you think about the Watkins captaincy?
There's a lot of good options this week, but I think Haaland just has the edge. I think, you know, Saka is a good option. I think Watkins is a good option at Luton, but I just can't see past Haaland against Manchester United. It feels like he's been in the Premier League for ages, but I think this is only his second season. But I capped him in this fixture last season and I got rewarded with a hat trick. So I'm reminded of that. And that's,
it's interesting with Haaland because the last two games I've been really, not even disappointed, just like, I just don't think he looks on it at all. The trouble with Haaland is when he looks like not in the game, he looks completely ridiculous. Like he's this huge guy just kind of lumbering around the pitch. He was taking pot shots from stupid angles. He's trying like half volleys that are just going into like rosettes. And he looks like ridiculous. And then he gets the goal like he did against Brentford where the player falls over and he's just through and you know he's going to finish. But against Bournemouth, I thought he looked really frustrated, really poor. And I was thinking, I'm definitely not going to be captaining him next week. I'm going to go for like a Watkins or a Saka or someone. And then you watch the Luton game, and Luton played kamikaze football in that match, and the goalkeeper gifted him a goal and all of that. But it's very hard not to back a player who's just scored 5 goals in a match and is playing Manchester United, like you mentioned, who have real problems at the back. And they have a history of just thrashing them, don't they, at the Etihad. So I think it's probably going to be Haaland, but Saka and Watkins are good picks. If you're or Son, I mean, I think all four of those are decent options. And I wouldn't be too surprised if one of them outscored Haaland, but I think you probably just back Haaland as well.
It's game week 28. So a lot of these questions, they're sort of geared up for 28. It's sort of the wrong game week to make these decisions and moves. Game week 28, away to Liverpool. That's when you think, I'm not going to captain Haaland for this one. I'm going to look elsewhere. Obviously Solanke, he's got a double game week and that's the player that you want to be captaining then. But this week, just betting against Man City. Haaland's got a thing about Manchester United as well, being, you know, Leeds.
Yep.
Leeds in the family. He does. I mean, whilst he might look a bit sort of languid against Bournemouth, I cannot see him not wanting to absolutely annihilate.
Do you remember the score earlier in the season at Old Trafford?
Earlier this season.
3-0 Man City. Haaland got 16 points in that game.
I thought it was 16 goals.
Yeah, he probably could well have done. 2 goals and assists in that match.
Yeah.
And you'd expect something similar, I think, especially if De Bruyne is back in the team as well. What else we got? Let's take a couple more questions before we finish. Luke says, who gets the most points this week? Douglas Luiz, Bowen or Maddison? So looking purely at this week rather than over the next few. Who would you pick if you could pick one of those three?
Aston Villa are away.
Luton. Yep. That was with your metric, yeah.
Home and away. Madison is at home. He's better away, or has been this season. Bowen has been better away, and he is away against Everton. I would say marginally, it's between Bowen and Madison. Mm. I took a deep breath then because I don't know what's been happening with Spurs. They've been off for a little while because they had a blank game week. And when teams like that with good managers and good players are off a while, sometimes, see what happened when Arsenal were off, suddenly they came back and they were like the set piece threat of the century. But I don't know whether, say, if Spurs have done something whereby Madison is doing something within the team that is going to make him like get loads of assists and score, then he could be. So potentially it's Madison, but I think realistically it's Bowen.
I think it's really tough between those two. I mean, I always look at Bowen and I think, okay, West Ham, again, a counter-attacking team. That suits the more open game. So they've got Burnley like next week. I think that's a great game for Bowen. Like, I'm very jealous of him in that. I didn't think Brentford was a particularly good game for Bowen, but obviously he got the hat-trick and I was really surprised by that. But I look at Everton and think, again, there's not going to be a huge amount of space for Bowen to operate in and around the lines. I know Paqueta's back, but I think that game might be quite low scoring.
Yeah.
Whereas I can see Spurs scoring a couple against Paris.
Yeah.
So I think I'd lean towards Madison, just.
Yeah, I think it's the upside. And I think we don't know what's been going on in training with Spurs, but Madison has the potential to really go off.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Colm says, apologies, only just realised I've forgotten to hit the like. Yeah, if you enjoyed the Q&A, do give us a like. Mm-hmm. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. Drop us a comment as well after we're finished too. We all appreciate it. FPL Roadrunner says all four of Luton's centre-halves are injured.
Yes. On Team News today, that's what Neil was telling me. Yeah, they're all injured. So that should bode well, you would imagine, for Villa.
That is unlucky, isn't it?
you never know. I don't know what the backup centre halves are like at Luton.
No, I imagine not the best.
No. I think, I mean, that does go back to the earlier question about with the captain Watkins. Mm. Ordinarily, if Haaland had a whole bunch of other teams that wasn't Manchester United, I might
at
think
home.
I might say yeah, but home against Manchester United,
yeah. Yeah, it looks good. And the final question we take, it's another hit question. It's from Greg Williams. Would you do a -4 for Richarlison to Madison?
Yes.
Yeah.
I would, because it's just going to pay off over time. I can't remember. I've taken about 2 or 3 hits this season, maybe a couple of hits, but I think both of them have been sort of long-term. I think one of them was for a stupid man, actually, but thinking it was long-term. But he did actually repay that hit within a week. So that was fine. And he did actually play for the couple of weeks after that. And that's that's a player that's like getting dropped now, but Madison's not going to be dropped. Did you start with Madison this season?
No, I started with Richarlison and then had to watch him blank every week and Madison do really well. And then was stubborn on getting Richarlison back when he was scoring every week. So
I've been the other way around. I started with Madison, but then had to get him out, obviously, when he was injured. But then just kept not getting Richarlison in, thinking, oh, he's going to stop scoring eventually. And, well, he eventually has, but it's taken
it took too long. He was doing too well for too long. It's very annoying. We've got a lesser-spotted FPL Sonaldo in the chat. He's a big fan.
FPL royalty has joined us.
I know. We're a big fan of you, Andy. Oh, yes, definitely. I don't know what you're talking about. Of course you're going to have a shout-out.
Yes, I was watching Burning Questions with FPL Sonaldo this week. And I didn't watch it last week because I was off. But I understand that he may have been responsible for the Wang.
Oh, yeah. He's completely responsible for the Wang bandwagon. Yeah.
But he was so enthusiastic about Wang. He managed to convince millions of FPL managers to bring him in.
I mean, surely he's going for Son this week as well. And history can hopefully not repeat itself.
That is the safest bet in FPL history that... Yeah. FPL Ronaldo is getting Son in this week for Wang.
I completely agree. Be interesting to see if he captains him or not. But I sense he's probably going to go for Haaland because he's boring, like a lot of us are. excellent. Joe, thank you so much.
Yep.
Great Q&A. Good to be back on stream
pleasure.
With you. I think I'll be back with Sam from next week, but you'll obviously be around doing little bits. As I said, if you haven't liked the stream already, please do so. Make sure you're subscribed to Scout as we push up towards 100,000 subscribers. And yeah, I'll see you next week.
See you soon.